Well, this is exciting. It's Take 10. We come to you every week with a look at a mental health-related issue that impacts caregiving and care recipients. I'm Ron Aaron, along with our co-host, Dr. Jamie Heisman, is co-host number one. He is a Chief Compassion Officer for Wellman Medical Management, a leading authority on caregiving burnout and compassion fatigue, also an expert when you deal with addictions. Carol Zernial, our other co-host, Executive Director of the Wellman Charitable Foundation. She's a nationally recognized gerontologist who was named one of the nation's top 50 influencers on aging by Next Avenue. And Carol Zernial, you got the golden straw. You picked the first topic here.
All right. Well, you know, recently I've been having conversations with caregivers and I hear the anger in their voices because they hear about new Alzheimer's medications. They may see something on a new cancer drug and they want these remedies right away. And we've got red tape and things that work and things that don't work. So Jamie, what I'm wondering about is what's the role of the caregiver in making decisions regarding getting the latest thing, the latest treatment, whatever the latest thing is?
You know, I'm going through this right now with my father's wife at this moment, who just A, hit donut hole, B, is looking for the most obvious expensive medication I've ever heard of. And, you know, my father not knowing how to act to it. So it's a great topic, Carol, that you bring up. And, you know, today's advances, for what it's worth, of medical technology is coming at us fast and furiously, right? Maybe it can sustain the lives of us. You know, maybe the outcome studies haven't really been seen, but we really are looking for the silver bullet, aren't we? And we're looking for that holy grail for our loved one. What can we do really to make the best decision? But to answer your question, I mean, this sometimes is totally unrealistic, right? The pharma industry, they make obviously their financial sort of take in the early on times before a generic is created. And so they have to make up all their costs. And sometimes these are huge, expensive pieces. So if you're a caregiver, I guess my first thought is ask yourself, what's the likelihood of where your loved one is right now? Okay, what is the patient, who is your loved one's prognosis? Is the condition reversible? Is it maintainable? Can you stabilize? Is the risk is going to be worse than taking it and not taking it in the first place? So, you know, caregiving is a risk and reward process, Carol. I think information is critical to get from our primary care doctors, from our psychologists, psychiatrists, neurologists. And then we have those questions to consider of what's the most likely effect of an intervention and what intervention we should do. So I think it's really a careful, thoughtful process.
Well, what is the impact of the decision making on someone who has, let's say, cognitive impairment versus someone who may be very, very sick, like with a cancer? What's the care recipient? You know, what should the caregiver keep in mind when thinking about the care recipient's role?
Well, you know, I would involve obviously any care recipient, no matter what level of chronic, terminal, acute illness or neurological condition they have, to the extent of how they can be involved. Meaning, I always want my loved ones and even people with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, Lewy body to be engaged as much so that they have their self-esteem actually rewarded in some capacity. I mean, people, we think simply because somebody has a chronic terminal illness that they have, you know, not self-esteem issues and we just do too much and we create this learned helplessness. So I think we have to give our loved ones as much informed consent, be as transparent as we possibly can, given what's going on at the time. Neurologically, you know as well as I know that there's still only a few medications that are out there, except maybe the shiny object you're referring to, that we can take. And I think we have to involve everybody. We just cannot, you know, randomly just say, you know, this is what you're going to take. Because I always see the loved one kind of backing down and also being controlled in the situation. The second thing I just want to say quickly here is that the caregiver is always going to feel this guilt complex if they're not taking care of themselves, if they don't know themselves, if they're not showing up in their life saying, I'm doing the best I can. So the ramifications for the caregiver are great if you don't involve them. But the ramification for the caregiver is also huge if they're not really taking care of their own mental health at the time.
Stick with us. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Caregiver SOS On Air. I'm Ron Aaron, along with Dr. Jamie Heisman and Carol Zernial, our co-hosts. And we're talking about when the next best shiny thing comes along, how do you tamper down the hope and the expectation that you're going to get it? And Dr. Jamie, you painted a picture where someone has to be really clinical and cold and analytical in deciding whether X is going to work for me. But the reality is, when you hear that there's hope in some new drug, you want it.
Absolutely, Ron. And I don't think anybody should if they can actually. My feeling is, I tell my patients, obviously, you can't be buried with it, right? So you take it, and if you can afford it, if you can do it, you know, go do it. I really say that, if it's possible. But to Carol's question, in most cases, it's really not possible. So I do believe that the caregiver should not be the imparter of the information that we can't take this giant leap to what Carol's calling, I guess, the next shiny object, the pharmaceuticals, if it's a $10,000 application, and we can't get it. I think we need to involve the primary care doctor. I think we need to involve the geriatric care manager. I think we do need to involve everybody in level set with our loved one, who also needs to be there. We all want that silver bullet. Who wouldn't? And even if it doesn't work, at least we've tried. But really, what is the reality?
Part of the challenge, Carol, is the decision often is taken out of our hands. If you're on Medicare or Medicare Advantage, it's the Medicare decision whether to cover that drug or not.
That's correct. And so we don't always have a vote at this time. And so we can advocate, we can, you know, contact, you know, Medicare and express the need or the desire for access to some of these treatments. But in the meantime, you know, how do we channel that anger? How do we channel that frustration that somehow this precious time is slipping away? And if only, you know, we had this, whatever the latest is, if things would be better.
You know, the grass is always going to be greener. We're always hoping we're going to get better than we are now, right? But to your point, Carol, you know, some plans don't allow us to take the name brand, and it's so darn expensive. But even then, you can get off the plan, right, and go to somewhere else. But all these factors, I'm not sure they're the best decisions for somebody's quality of life. These are the things that need to be discussed and talked about. That's why information is king when you're a caregiver.
Yeah, and, of course, the pharmaceutical companies want people to buy these drugs.
Well, they do. And so, you know, I do think you have to somehow put yourself in a clinical, a matter of fact frame of mind to put your two columns, pros and cons, and what's the decision, and then what do I do about it? But the anger and the frustration for something that you may not be able to get, or that may not work, can be, I think, a distraction on quality of life. As someone who's lived, spent time with someone who was dying, it can be hope, but it can also be a distraction from using that energy on the now.
Yes, and I want to say philosophically and clinically, hope is sometimes something that is like a drug, and it can keep us in that state where we don't really have solutions. Oddly enough, despair in my addiction world is the greater motivator. I'm not saying that, you know, that they're there to sell hope in advertising, right? But we don't even know if they take it, if their life is going to be better quality or even worse, right? So the crapshoot is out there. I think it needs to be handled psychosocially in a proper way with everybody together. And then the loved one, the caregiver, who has that guilt that they didn't do the right thing, quote unquote, they do need to see if they did the best they could, find a good therapist, build their self-esteem up. And guilt is related to self-esteem, and understand that they did the best they could in the moment.
Dr. Jamie, you get the last word on Take 10 today. Thank you. For Carol Zernial and Dr. Jamie Heisman, I'm Ron Aaron. We will talk with you again soon right here on Take 10.